suggested to Moses that he send, and they would be the men that would stand with him. And then in chapter 13, if you remember, verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So we have two distinctions here. The ones who are head of the house of his fathers are head of the house, and the other ones who are the head of the children. Now, those of you who are unmarried, even though you're the married guy there, but you're not a husband, you're the head of the children. And that is why you make an evil report. That is why you cannot lead your family. And those of you who have lost families, this is why you lost them. And those of you that don't have them yet, this is why you don't have one and you're not getting one. You must learn to be the head of the house and not the head of the children. Because the head of the children will always make an evil report. And let me tell you something, men. If you're looking for a wife in this church, you can forget it if you're the head of the children. They're too smart for you. And ladies, if you're looking for a husband that agrees with what's being preached here, you can forget about finding him in this church if you won't allow him to be the head of the house. If all you want him to be is the head of the children, then you're in deep trouble. You're not going to have a husband here, even though you may have a married guy living with you. And maybe somebody did say some words over you and you think you're married, and you are. I'm not asking you whether you're married. I'm asking you, do you have a husband? And to the rest of you, are you a husband? Now, to review a little bit, we're going to look at the two individuals, the ones that Moses should have sent and the ones that he did. And you have the same opportunity, because if you remember, these two people are the two sides of your personality, the good side and the evil side. And you can send either one. But every one of them has a task, if you remember, because they all come from a different tribe. In verse 4 of chapter 13, he says, of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakkur. Remember, this is the man that Moses sent instead of chapter 1, verse 5. And you don't need to turn back on these now because we're just reviewing. Of the tribe of Reuben, again, the same tribe, Elizur, the son of Shaddua. So here we have two choices. Shammua meant, remember, well-known, celebrity, famous, someone who wants to be recognized. They always have to be the center of attention. Whose father was Zakkur, and Zakkur meant to be recognized. They want you to accept them just the way that they are. And by the way, you'll find this characteristic also. They want God to accept them just the way that they are. And they throw the word grace around, like if they knew her. See, what they really want is they want to use grace in order for God to recognize them. And recognize means to accept you just the way that you are, with no change. Accept you as being all right the way that you are. That's the way Shammua thinks. There's no change in him. There's no repentance. All he can think of is a way to continue to do and be recognized just the way he is. He'll always come from a family where they don't recognize wrong. There just is no such thing. Everybody does, quote, their own thing. And then from the other side, now you can send this individual who doesn't want to change. You can come here in that personality and you won't change. You won't hear anything that will cause you to change. Or you can send Elizur, the son of Shaddua. And Elizur, if you remember, meant God of the rock. And Shaddua meant a spreader of light. In other words, you can come here to learn, to teach us about you, or you can come here to learn about God. And the choice is yours. Because remember, this first personality characteristic is sent from the tribe of Reuben. And Reuben, among other things, means to see. So the first thing that happens with any habit that you develop, any decision that you make, you take a look at it first. So who's doing your looking, Shammua or Elizur? And it depends, and it's important, because your final decision, your evil report, or the good report is going to depend on who you sent out. Now, the second individual, if you remember, was in verse 5 of chapter 13. His name was Shaphat, the son of Hori. And Shaphat, if you remember, meant to be a judge. And son of Hori means a person who chooses to live alone, a recluse, one who shuts off relations with others because He doesn't want you seeing what he's doing. Doesn't realize we don't care. You know, you're living alone for nothing. I don't care what you do. You don't doing it to me. And then that's his son is the one, or the son of Hoi is the one who wants to live by himself. Now, you can send that individual if you want. And that's the double standard individual, the one who comes once in a while here and does one thing, and then he goes home and does something else. Well, preacher doesn't know it. Yeah, but your wife does. And your God does, and that's why she wouldn't follow you to the street corner. Because she sees how you are here, and then she sees how you are when the chips are down. Shaphat. And she can understand it whenever you get upset and things don't go your way and you pout and run off to the corner, slam the door and leave and go somewhere. That's your daddy Hoi. Shutting off relations from others. Or you can send Shelumiel, that's the other side of your personality, who's the son of Zereshaddai. And Shelumiel meant peace of God, remember. It meant to be safe and well and happy and friendly. This is the individual. Ladies, wouldn't you love to be married to a man like this? No matter what you did, he was well, happy, friendly, and safe. He didn't panic because you're acting like a jerk. He didn't let you lead him. You're in a bad mood for whatever reason. You need a shepherd. And you let your shepherd know how you feel, and he follows you, and he gets as bad as you are, and then he's stronger and louder than you, so you're just doubling your frogs. Is it any wonder she won't tell you anything? Is it any wonder she'd rather call someone else who at least will be sympathetic, or someone else who's going to tell her, don't do that? But she certainly doesn't want to talk to you because you double her frogs. You become just like her. You let her lead you. And then you point at her and say, she's a nag. I know she is. And she's a big mouth. I know that too. And she's an emotional wreck, and all she does is holler and scream. I also know that. But what is your excuse for following her into that? Oh, well, do we have to talk about that? Yeah, we sure do. Now, why is Shelumiel Shelumiel? Because he has a daddy named Zereshaddai. And Zereshaddai means rock of the Almighty as a refuge. In other words, Zereshaddai is not a mama's boy. When you're acting wrong, when things aren't going good in the family, when things aren't going good on the job, his refuge is Jesus Christ. He doesn't panic because the wife panics, because his life doesn't depend on the wife. He doesn't panic when things are going wrong on the job because his refuge is not the job. His refuge is Jesus Christ. So he's unaffected by what's around him or her, if you're a spiritual head. But you see, you can send either one. You can go to work and send Shelumiel and have a great day. Or you can say in Shaphat, and you're in big trouble. Now remember, both of these people are from the tribe of Simeon. Now Simeon is the second part of your, quote, alter ego. Remember, Reuben meant to see. So the first two guys, you sent one or the other, you sent them to see what the problem is, or what the solution is. Simeon means to hear. So you see, here's what's happening, he says, the first part of your personality will see what's going on. The second part will hear. Now, depending on which side of your personality you send, they're going to come back and tell you, oh, it looks awful out there. And what I heard is we're all going to die and we can't pay our bills. Or it can come back and say, well, according to the Word of God, everything is fine and we're going to come out just right. I'm going to describe it according to the inheritance. Two choices. To me, they would seem to be very simple choices. And why some of you don't see it that way is because you sent the wrong person right off the bat. That's why you can't see it. Right now, some of you are already off into Shemua. You can't see this. Now, the third individual is of the tribe of Judah, who's called Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Numbers 13:6. Remember, Caleb meant forcible and having force and using force and coercion and violence and affected by force. Physical strength, physical power, physical coercion, the power to control, to overpower, and to impose his will. In other words, a macho guy. I'd rather call him a jackass guy, because macho in Latin means a jackass, a donkey. This is someone who depends principally, primarily, if not exclusively, on physical force. Now, this is, unfortunately, an individual like this, he not only has to do things by force, You can't get him to do anything unless you knock him down and slap his face. That's why I wear my good clothes. I do not want to fight. I'm not going to knock you down and force you to do anything. That's crazy. If you don't want to do it, don't. As long as you're not the married guy in my house, I don't care what you do. Now, he's the son of Jephunneh, and Jephunneh means he will be prepared to face. In other words, this is a guy that will fight at the drop of a hat. He's always ready for confrontation, loves it, as a matter of fact. In fact, he's looking for it. Because, see, that's the only time he can prevail. The only time he feels good about himself is when he makes it a physical confrontation, because that's all he's good for. But one day, you're going to get old and decrepit, and your own kids aren't going to be afraid of you. As a matter of fact, I remember a story a man told me once. Strong man, young man. And he said, the kids on the block aren't even afraid of me anymore. He gave some of the kids on the block an order, and they said, we don't have to do that. See, physical force really doesn't work anywhere except in your own family. And then as soon as she gets a lawyer, it won't even work there. So you see, sooner or later, you have no one else to use this physical force except on yourself. And then you'll know what a drag it is to live with you when it's only you living with you. Or you can send, again, from the same tribe of Judah, Nashon in Numbers 1:7, the son of Amminadab. And Nashon means to diligently observe. See, Caleb just tries to force everything. And Nashon is diligently watching and observing. You can always depend on his opinion because you know he listens. You know he hears. You know that he's assessing correctly. So he doesn't have to force. A Nashon can just speak and you can depend on the man's word. You know it's based on fact. There's no coercion. Why? Because his name means to diligently observe. Now he's the son of Amminadab, and Amminadab means people of liberality. In other words, here's a man that will give you advice and then give you the option, whatever you want to do. He won't force his wife to do something. He'll give her good, sound advice and let her make the decision as to whether she's going to follow or not. Amminadab also means to volunteer, to offer freely. He's not someone that gives you advice and gives you information and gives you orders when you haven't asked for them. In other words, he treats you like God treats you. And that's what we have to do. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And God doesn't force you to do anything. Now they both come from the same tribe, the tribe of Judah. Now remember, the first one you sent out was to see. Reuben, it means to see. Simeon means to hear. And Judah means use. Now, this is basically what this means. Whatever you see and hear, you now have the use of. In other words, if you can come in here and see this and hear this, you will have the use of this. But if you send Shemua and all his crew, they're not going to see it this way. They're not going to hear it this way, and they're not going to use it this way. And you're going to get back an evil report. So remember, see, hear, now you have the use of. Now the fourth individual in Numbers 13:7 of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Igal, if you remember, meant to be the next of kin and as such to buy back a relative's property, to ask for or demand as rightfully belonging to one, to claim and to assert one's right to. This is the individual who says, I have a right to kill myself. I have a right to be addicted to this or that. Yes, you do. Nobody tried to tell you you didn't have the right to be stupid. See, I never said you don't have the right to be stupid. I just said you're stupid. And you added something there that I never intended. I never said, and neither did God. I said it's dumb to do that. And you said, well, I have the right to do that. Yes, you do. That's not the issue. Never has been. Now, he's the son of Joseph. Now, remember, Igal claims a right to do anything. He has a right to do anything. And his daddy, Joseph, means to make greater in size or quantity or add to it. In other words, you have a right to smoke, but it's going to get greater in size and quantity. You're going to smoke until you're doing 2-3 packs a day, until you kill yourself. You have a right to eat until you explode. See, Joseph will make you explode. He'll make you greater in size and quantity. But yeah, you have the right to stuff your face. Go right ahead. Claim it if that's what you want, or anything else you're into. But you think you're just going to maintain a level. Your daddy's name is Joseph. It's going to get bigger and not better, just bigger. Bigger in size, bigger in quantity. It's going to come a time when it obsesses you and it'll ultimately claim you. I don't care if we're talking alcohol, food, temper, what it is. It's going to get greater in size. One of these days you're going to throw a fit and your heart's going to explode and your blood vessels are going to explode in your head. And we're just going to look at it and say, oh my God, isn't that a shame? Then we'll throw dirt in your face and that'll be the end of you. You think I'm going to go cry? I don't believe in crying at funerals. I'm telling you the truth. Now, what am I going to do when you're laying in a box and say, oh, brother, you should have done this or that. Oh, hell. I'm telling you now, while you're alive, will it do you some good? I'm not going to go talk to your rotting bones. I can't help you then. And listen, if you won't accept it now that you're alive, what good is it going to do when you're in a pine box? I love you too much to wait until it's too late. You might be that stupid, but I'm not. Or you can send of the same tribe, Numbers 1:8, of Issachar, Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. Now, Nethaneel means given of God. It means to give and to bestow and to deliver and to distribute. Now remember, agel means to take and claim and assert one's right. And given of God means to give and deliver. So God says, I want that habit. Give that up. And I'm going to give you health and blessing and freedom. And you don't want to. Instead, you want to be an agel. You want to claim it and say, well, by the grace of God, I can continue to do it. That's going to get you close to that number 10 we're talking about tonight. See, the Nethaneel can give up anything. I have found out if you can stick your hand in your pocket and give willingly something you do want that is good, then it's 10 times easier to give up something you know is no good and you've been wanting to. You know why you can't give up the bad? Because you won't give anything. You're a taker. You're selfish. You're greedy. You're a miser. Did any of you have dreams with a guy in the chain, by the way? Some of you are so tight, you take two pennies and rub them together, and I swear Lincoln is clean shaven when you're done. Give a little, brother. But you just take, an eagle. And all you do is you want to get more and more. And you see, you're never going to give up anything until you learn how to give. See, you want to get the good and give away the bad. Uh-uh. You give everything away. And then God returns that that's good. And if he gives you back a bottle of Jim Beam, then what am I going to say? Drink it. But you know he won't. You know he's not going to give you back that bad stuff, and that's why you won't give it to him. Now, Nethaneel is a giver because his dad's name is Zuar. And Zuar means small and ignoble, of the common people, not noble in birth or position or quality, not lofty. He's not a proud man, not superior, not splendid, not grand, not magnificent. In other words, he's humble. And that's why God exalts such an individual, man or woman. But understand this, they both come from the tribe of Issachar. Now remember, Reuben means to see. Simeon meant to hear. Judah meant to have the use of. And Issachar means to perform. In other words, whatever you see, hear, and have the legal use of, that's what you will perform. That's what you're going to do. Now that's why you are what you are. You send the wrong side of you to see the wrong thing, hear the wrong thing, you have the use of the wrong thing, now you perform the wrong thing, and you say, I wonder why I'm doing this. I've just told you why you're doing this. Now, if I could tell you that just performing it was the end of it, this wouldn't be such a bad story. It gets worse before it gets better. Numbers 13:10, another individual. Remember, see, hear, use, perform. Now we have of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. And remember, Gadiel meant distributing the fortune of God. Fine, he's Christian. Talking right. Unfortunately, he's the son of Sodai. We got some of those in here. And Sodai meant inward secret counsel of the inner nature of a person, mysterious. In other words, he's got all the answers. he looks for the answer in himself, doesn't realize that he's the problem. Now, how can you find the answer, if the problem and the answer in the same thing? That's crazy. And that's why you're addicted to the things that you're addicted to. Alcohol is the answer. It makes you feel good. But it's also the problem. It's killing you. It gives you a hangover. Cigarettes give you a temporary high, but they also are killing you. So you see, it's trying to find the answer in the problem. That's crazy. How can it be the answer if it's also the problem? And if you have the problem, then you are the problem. How can you also be the answer? Well, see, they look for the answer inside of them. In other words, it's a word in the English is called esoteric. And esoteric, if you remember, comes from the word esotropia. And esotropia means to have one eye focused on the object out there and the other one inward. Cross-eyed, in other words. And this individual is the one that sees the problem out there, one eye on the problem, and the other one says, the answer is me. In other words, they're cross-eyed. Now, you can send that individual, or you can send the other side of you, which is of the tribe of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. Numbers 1:9. Now, Helon means God of his father, the Almighty God, and Helon means force, virtue, valor, wealth, and substance. In other words, you can either talk your strength, your inner counsel, your knowledge, your wisdom, or the force, virtue, valor, wealth, and substance of the God of your father, the Almighty. That's the only two choices you have. Now, both of them come from the tribe of Zebulun. Now remember, Reuben means see, Simeon means hear, Judah means to have the use of, Issachar means to perform it. Now you do it daily. You know what Zebulun means? Habit. That's how you develop the habit, the nasty habit that you have. Or the good habit, whatever it is. You saw, you heard, use, perform, and now habit. And habit means a thing done often and hence done easily. Now sometimes people say, well, I can't quit. I've never asked you to quit. I've asked you to change habits. Can you do it just once today? Oh, yes. Then can you do it just once tomorrow? Oh, yes. Well, you see, after you do it often, then you'll do it easily. And then one day I'll say, can you do it twice today? Sure. And you'll do it twice. And pretty soon you're doing it all the time. That's the way you got into that habit. But see, you want out of the habit in a way that's impossible because you don't want out. It's just that simple. So you see, habit, the thing that comes from this, becomes a thing done easily. It becomes a practice and a custom. Habit also means a pattern of action that is acquired. You weren't born the way that you are. You acquired that habit. And you need to know who you acquired it from. It's a pattern of action that is acquired and has become so automatic that it is difficult to break. Now, you know what the word automatic means? Auto means self. In other words, you do it. It's automatic. You are the ones. Automobile means an auto that mobiles itself. It's got its own power source. Now you can understand that, can't you? I'm not a mechanic and I understand what an automobile is. No horse, nothing to draw it, nothing to push it. It means it's got its own power. So automatic means you're doing it. You do it. Not me, not your wife, not your husband, not someone outside you. It's automatic. You are the auto. Now some of you belong on the junk pile, I understand that, or Mako at best. But it's you. It's automatic. You are causing it in yourself. And I know it is difficult to break for the simple reason that it's automatic. So all I've ever asked you to do is send the other side. See, hear, use, perform, and you'll have a different habit. Now, I wish I could leave you there and say, that's it. That's the end of the habit. No, 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 no. Now we'll go to Numbers 13:8. And I think you ought to turn with me there because that's where we pick up where we left off the last time. Numbers 13:8 of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Now, Oshea's name had to be changed later on to Jehoshua, so right now, this is not a cool characteristic. Oshea means to be open, to be free and safe, not settled or decided, not covered, not in bondage, not in obligation. In other words, physically, the guy looks good. The problem is, he's the son of Nun. And Nun means to change or to shift about, to flit and vanish here and there. And we got some of those, in and out. Some days are here, some days are not. Some days are in a good mood, some days are not. Some days they love the Lord, some days they don't. Some days they love their wife, some days they don't. Sometimes they love themselves, sometimes they don't. In and out. Hey, when you're in, you're cool. When you're out, you're none. And you know what I mean. When I say none, that's exactly what I mean. None of none. Nothing, nada. That's it. No more. See, so don't propose the times that you're good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're none, son. When you change and shift about. See, that's the difficulty with that individual. Because all he wants to do is talk about when he's right or she's right. They don't want to talk about the nun. They want to talk about the Oshia part. Now, I'll tell you, there's a better answer to that in Numbers 1:10. Again, of the same tribe of the children of Joseph. Well, I'm sorry, the children of Ephraim. Of the children of Joseph of Ephraim. Elishama, the son of Ammihud. Elishama means God of hearing. To hear with attention, to hear intelligently, and to hear with obedience. And Elishama has a good characteristic because he obeys. And obey just basically means to hear. That's all obey means. In other words, you are never going to comply until you obey. You thought obey meant to do it. No, obey means to hear it. Comply means to do it. But you can't comply because you won't hear. So see, Elishama is a totally different individual than Oshia. Different fathers too. Now they both come from the same tribe. Now remember, they come now from the tribe of Ephraim. Reuben meant to see, Simeon meant to hear, Judah meant have the use of, Issachar meant to perform it, do it, and then Zebulun meant to have a habit. It becomes a habit. And you know what Ephraim means? To bear fruit. In other words, I don't care what your habit is, it's got fruit. And don't tell me that you're right if the fruit is wrong. So you can always tell which one you sent when we get to Ephraim. All I have to do is look at the fruit of your life. All I have to do is look at what you eat, how you eat, when you eat, how you act, what you do. That's the fruit. Ephraim not only means fruit, it means something even more important. It means double fruit. So you see, at here we have a fork in the road. At Ephraim, if you have fruit, that will be the good report. That's the right side of you. If you have double fruit, that's the wrong side. And let me tell you what I mean. First of all, fruit means the result, the product, or the consequence of any action. But fruit is singular, only one thing. Double fruit, however, means twofold. It means having two meanings. It means to serve an additional purpose. Now, where's the first example of double fruit? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Double fruit. In one fruit, two things, good and evil. Now, you are living off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm going to share you what I mean here. Anything that has two fruits in it is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's double fruit. Now, it is good and it's also evil. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Alcohol, when you first drink it, good. Makes you feel good. But it's also evil because it gives you a hangover and it's killing you. It's a double fruit. Lard, grease, the skis that you eat over there at McDonald's, I know it's when it's slithering in your mouth. I know it tastes good. I understand that. But it's also evil. It is also congesting your arteries. It is also raising your cholesterol level, raising your blood pressure. It is killing you, so it's good and evil. Now, that's because you've sent the wrong people. That's an evil report. You're starting to have an evil report. Now you talk about your wife, what a good cook she is, what this she is, and what that she is. That's good. And then 10 minutes later, she's a nun and nun, blim bum bim, and an expialidocious on top of that. That's evil. Why are you seeing her double? There's something wrong with you. Why are you seeing everything double? There's something wrong with you. You're eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, and there's only either everything is either good or it's good and evil. Can you see Satan can't do anything by himself? He has absolutely no power. But you live off of this double fruit thing. And one day, wives, you know this, your husband couldn't be better. And the next day, there's another fruit. He's double fruited, double-minded, double-tongued, double everything, twofold, ambiguous. Double means having two meanings, two purposes. And anything that has two purposes is evil. It's double fruit. It's good and evil. And see, the Lord wants you to understand whatever you're into, that one day is good and the next minute isn't, means you've done exactly the opposite of what God told you. He told you who to send. He told you how to make those decisions. And yes, I know there's good and evil in everybody, but why should I eat off of both? I'd rather eat off the tree of life. God said you can eat off of one or the other, but not both. Now, if you want to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says, get out of the garden. Get out of this restful place. And you know what he put in the garden to keep you from coming back in? A flaming sword. And you know, you try to use the word of God to get back in, and that's what's keeping you out, Dumbo. And you know why? Because you insist on eating double fruit. You better start looking at the good in everything. And you're never going to do that as long as you keep sending the wrong people to see, hear, use, perform, and develop your habits with. You come up with a double fruit. And then, let me tell you what else. Not only do you get good and evil, but then you double it again. Why? Because then your wife starts acting just like you. So now you've doubled the double. And now that your wife starts acting like you, your kids pick it up. Now you've doubled the double, the double. See, you're not too bright. This is how you have destroyed or are in the process of destroying your family. You just double everything. Everything has to have two. You're not happy, and even what you enjoy, there's got to be a lot of violence with a happy ending. See, you got the soap opera, say, oh, everything is bad, and then it ends up good. Or everything starts out good, and it ends up bad. You got to have it both ways. See, you can't think any other way. To sit down and read the Word of God that's all good, that's boring. You got to have something that's good and evil. We got to have a hero and a villain. We got to have both. It's got to feed both sides of us. That's why people flock to churches where they talk about Satan and better watch out and cast him out of here. My Bible tells me he is defeated. Now, defeated means he ain't got no feet. D means to take away, and feet means the ability to act. Now, if the man is defeated, he no longer has the ability to act. In other words, he can't do anything. So they are warning you about someone that can't do anything, and you know who the real enemy is? You. See, they try to get your mind on Satan. I said, oh, no. Satan's not your problem, brother. You are. It's automatic. I perceive we've got too many Edsels in this place. But that's another story. Now you have double fruit. Again, I wish I could tell you that was the end of the scenario, but it isn't. Numbers 13:9. This is probably the most frightening part of the whole thing. It says of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai, the son of Raphu. Now, Paltai means delivered. It means to escape, to slip out. In other words, sneaky. They try to get out. They know they're doing wrong, but they try to get out of it. And how? Well, they're the son of Raphu. Raphu means to cure, to heal, to repair, and to mend by stitching. Remember when Jesus said, what man has a torn cloth and takes a new piece and sews it into the old? The new piece will just make the old worse. He says, you don't repair, you get rid of the rag. God says, I want to start a new work with you, but you are trying to patch it up. And you know what that means? That means you get to keep the same filthy rag and you just patch it here and there. That's refuse. He doesn't want to change. God loves you just the way you are. And after all, we have grace. Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to stitch. You're trying to mend by stitching. And remember, mend meant to make better and to set right by suture. And suture means, and anybody that knows anything about medicine knows, that it means the joining together of the two edges of a wound. Now, did you ever watch Jesus heal in this Bible? Did some, oh Lord, help me. Where's my needle and thread? No, he said, you must repent. You must be born from above. There has to be a change in you. That's the healing. I'm not into repairing rags. I want to give you, remember the prodigal son? Got a brand new coat. Brand new everything. And that's what God wants to give you. Brand new. You want to keep your old habits and just stitch them up, put some patches on them, and make yourself look better. Raphael, it's not going to work. Now, the other side of this, of the same tribe of Benjamin, is Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And Abidan means the father of judgment. It means to judge as an umpire, to strive at the law, to minister judgment. Now, let me tell you something's happening here. Some of you want to mend and stitch, and I want to be your Abidan. Let's strive at law. Let's minister judgment. Let's judge that thing as wrong instead of stitching it. You'll understand that you will thank God for a preacher and or a husband, hopefully both, that will minister judgment to you. But it doesn't mean to judge like Shaphat meant. It meant to strive at the law. In other words, he can show you out of the book where you're wrong. In other words, if he cannot convince you that what you're doing is wrong and you enter in the same judgment, you're not coming out. Get your needle and thread and try to patch it up there, Raggedy Andy. And you're going to end up with a Raggedy Ann. And then you're going to end up with a raggedy little kids and everything's going to be raggedy. Why? Because instead of judging the thing wrong, see, Abidan means to strive at the law, to minister judgment. It means to judge, then to advocate. Both, not just one, not just the Shaphat, a judge and an advocate. But Abidan also has a daddy, and his name is Gideoni. And Gideoni means warlike and a warrior. In other words, this is someone you're not going to convince through emotion. You can stay gone as long as you want. I don't care. When you get back, it's wartime again. I'm still going to tell you what's wrong with you. I don't care. I'm not going to back off. But he wars at the law. And the second part of the meaning, he has a reason for this. Gideoni means to cut down in order to cut off. In other words, all in the world that's happening here is God is trying to show you this man I put in front of you is ministering judgment, striving at the law, telling you what's wrong with you so that you can cut down and cut off this thing that's killing you. Instead, you want to fight and argue with me and you want to get me to follow you. You can forget it. And I'll tell you why, because both of these people come from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm going to tell you what Benjamin means. It means the son of the right hand or the stronger side of a person. You know basically what this means? What you see, Reuben, see, Simeon, hear, Judah, have the use of, Issachar, perform, Zebulun, develop a habit, Ephraim, bears fruits, becomes the stronger side of you. Now, let me tell you something. As long as you're feeding the evil side of you with the evil report, it is stronger than you. I understand that. How in the world can the weaker side of you defeat the stronger side of you? Sing more hymns? Tithe more. None of it's going to do it because you've been feeding the wrong side of you. Understand, we're talking here logic and understanding. The reason your bad habits are stronger than you is because you've been feeding them. You've been sending the wrong people. And now you're Benjamin. Now it is the stronger side of you. Now for the life of you, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you want to, when push comes to shove, the stronger side always wins. Now what happens? You come to church, and I'm trying to feed the right side of you to make it strong. I ask you to counsel so we can feed the right side of you to make it strong, so we can judge the wrong side and make it weaker, so that one day the stronger side of you will be the right side, and then you will cut down and cut off, but not until then. You want to fight the stronger side of me. You want to be pathetic and say, Lord, oh, I really want to, but you know this other side of me. And he says, you phony, you. You've done push-ups and calisthenics, and you've been jogging with that strong side and feeding it vitamins and minerals and everything you can to make it Mr. America. And then you say, what am I going to do about it? Quit feeding the jerk. Quit taking care of him. Quit making him the stronger side of you. Because at that point, you have no choice. Can you understand how you automatically got yourself into this thing? It's what you see, who you send to do the seeing, who you send to do the hearing. That gives you the use of something, and you'll perform what you have. And whatever you perform will become your habit, and your habit will bear fruit. And that becomes the stronger side of you, because what do you eat? The fruit. Do you understand this? Look, you're not a farmer who's bearing fruit to ship. God says you got to eat it. You have to eat your fruit or snort it or whatever you do with it. I don't care what you do with it. But you got to take it. And the fact that you're upset, the fact that it gives you a high and a low means it's double fruit. Now, if it just gave you good nutrition, just gave you peace, it would just be plain old fruit. But some of you just don't like plain old fruit. See, you like something with good and evil in it. It's got to have a double effect. And that's what makes it the stronger side of you. Benjamin means the stronger side of a person. But it also means a son as the builder of the family name. You will become known for what the stronger side of you is. And we have names for them. Addict, alcoholic, drunk. There's a lot of names, and that is the name you're building. Why? Because that's the fruit that you're eating. Why? Because that's the stronger side of you. Because that's your habit. That's what you perform. That's what you have the legal right to. Because that's what you heard. And that's what you see. And sometimes it amazes me. And God is saying, look, 3 hours on Sunday and 1 hour on Wednesday, 4 hours a week of seeing and hearing will take care of all the hours of seeing and hearing on the outside and still give you enough. And you come in here and, are you kidding me? Me sit and listen for 45 minutes? Me see and hear for 45 minutes? Well, I got this thing figured out in 3 seconds. I already know what he's talking about. And always, it's always the same. I wish I could take your tongues and fix them some way so you couldn't say grace anymore. Temporarily, just until we get you straightened out, and then I'll take the stitches out. So you couldn't say grace anymore. So that you wouldn't have this mentality that you can continue to eat the double fruit in the name of grace. Which in a way is right, but you're going to die. Don't you understand that? And it's an abomination of God for you as a Christian for other people to see how you are eating double fruit, and then they don't think much of Christ or Christianity because of you. If you're going to do it, why don't you go in your closet. Do it by yourself. Throw up in there. Stay in there and have your temper tantrum. Eat your good and evil. Then when you come out, at least look good. Don't go in front of other people and show them this is how a Christian operates, eating double fruit, which now becomes the stronger side. And I understand when you're at that point, it is the stronger side. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you're eating double fruit and it becomes the stronger side, then you're going to live with Manasseh, which is the next one, and Gadai and Susai. And we're going to finish this up, Lord willing, now at 11 o'clock. And then tonight, I'm going to finish this message, and I'm going to tell you what God has said. You have now tempted me these 10 times. That's it. You're not going. And if you hear that, you hear the message tonight, and if you're in the 10th time, don't say you weren't warned. And I'm not going to make the judgment whether you're in the 10th time. But I'll tell you, if you're floating around 8 or 9, I'd be very careful. As a matter of fact, if you're 1 or 2, I'd be very careful because it can sneak up on you. I'm listening very carefully. I don't want this thing to sneak up on me. It can happen to anybody. So we'll pick it up now at 11 o'clock. add verse 11 of chapter 15. That's appropriate. Brother Kenny, would you close the services in prayer?
Tribe of Manasseh. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susai. Now, we have another individual here whose name is Gadai, and Gadai means fortunate or distributing fortune. Now, he's kind of tries to be a positive kind of individual, and he tries to speak right, and he talks about how well things are going. He has a problem, though. His dad's name is Susai, and Susai means to skip for joy. Now, Gadai, and some of you may be married to a Gadai, he has joy. The problem is he has to skip for joy. And skip means to direct the attention from one point to another, omitting what lies between. In other words, he likes to skip over the darndest things. And you can never tell him the complete truth because he doesn't like it. You got to skip the things that make him look bad. Now, I know you don't like the messages here because I don't skip anything. I know what you want me to skip, and you can forget it. See, this is the individual, the only way he's ever happy. You can never tell him the whole and complete truth. He always wants half of it. Unfortunately, see, he's such a skipper that when he's judging you, wife, he doesn't want to hear what's good about you. He skips that. He only wants to hear what's wrong with you. So see, he skips, but he skips in reverse when he's judging everyone else. Hard person to live with. He's not a very joyful person because he's always skipping and tiptoeing through the tulips. You have to be careful. This is an eggshell walker. And that's why we have a lot of omelets in here, because I don't recognize your eggs. I'll stomp up a storm. I don't care. If you don't want your eggs into an omelet, don't bring them in here. Color them. Go hide them somewhere. You know, roll them on the lawn. Whatever you do with your eggs, I don't care. You come in here, we're going to have an omelet. That's just that simple. So see, this is the individual who likes to omit something that lies between. Now, what does he do? Well, the past he likes to talk about, because he'll give you his rendition of the past. He'll also talk about the future. I know God has forgiven me for what I've done in the past, and one day I'm going to get better. What's he skipping? The present. He omits what lies between. And he's just skipping for joy. Well, he's got a problem, because that individual is going to come back with an evil report. He's of the tribe of Manasseh. Now, the other side of that individual is in Numbers 1:10, Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. Gamaliel means the reward of God, to ripen and to wean. In other words, the evil side of you is going to skip for joy. It's going to lie, in other words. It's going to admit, it's going to deny reality. The other side means the reward of God. In other words, he thanks God for everything. All right, I have that habit, Brother Reuben, but thank God that we're here talking about it, and he's not done with me because here we are dealing with it. It's a reward of God for us to be able to talk about this. But Gadai says, let's skip that. And that's why you don't have it whipped, and you never will. Gamal also means to ripen and to wean. Now, wean means to cause a child to become accustomed gradually to food other than its mother's milk. Now, guys, let's be serious. How much more gradual can we get here? Some of you have been dealing with this thing for years now, and you're still sucking on mama's milk. You still like that pre-digested, we don't have to change, we don't have to do anything kind of, mommy always loved me no matter what I did. Well, unfortunately, you're not married to mommy. You were, but she changed, didn't she? Yeah. Wean also means to withdraw a person by degrees from a habit by substituting some other interest. Now, there it is in a nutshell. You're never going to break that old habit till you substitute another interest. And God knows I'm trying to get you interested in something else. But you won't do it. And that's why you cannot withdraw yourself from that wrong habit. You won't be weaned. You don't want to take it as a reward of God being weaned. See, God could sew your mouth up, and then you would never be able to do whatever you're doing. No, he said, I'd rather withdraw you by degrees. I don't want to shock you. I know what you're into. Let me get you out of this by degrees, and let's substitute another habit that is good. He does it lovingly. But he says, I can't do it if you keep skipping over and denying what's wrong with you. Get I? Skipping for joy instead of being a Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. Now, Pedazur means God has ransomed. It also means to separate and to break off. Now, I know God paid for your sin. You're a thief because you still have your sin and God paid for it. Don't ever tell me again that Jesus Christ paid for your sin when you're not willing to give it up. Because you see, he didn't say, well, here's the money. You can keep the pay and the sin. He said, I paid for that, all right. Now you give it to me and I'll give you something better. Now it is paid for, but you still have it. Now when you go to heaven, when you die, you can't take your sin with you. Why? Because you can't take the bag of bones with you. That's why. And that's when you finally will have your sin paid for. Right now, your sin's not paid for, although it's paid for. See, Jesus paid for it, but you still have it. Now, I'm telling you something. I am not the brightest person in the world, but when a family bought my vehicle and paid me for it, I don't think they're stupid enough to let me keep it and pay me too. Now, if you're not that stupid, how makes you think I'm that stupid or God's that stupid to say, I paid for your sin, but you get to keep it anyway? Now listen, let me tell you something. Somebody's doing some skipping here. And you're not skipping for joy. See, God has ransomed you. It means he's paid for it. You know what ransom means? It means to sever and to separate and to break off. In other words, God said, I have ransom for you, but the fruit of it is when you give me that wrong and I'll give you some right. So see, with you, it's just a bookkeeping transaction. It's on your account and it's paid for, but you never collected it. You won't turn it in. You just won't give it up. So in reality, it's paid for, but you don't have the benefits of it. So you don't have the pay. See, I didn't get the money until I said, here's the keys. And when I went to buy another one, I said, you know, I had the money in one hand and the keys in the other. And we kind of, you know, I'm not turning loose of one until I get the other one. I'm not stupid. But evidently you are, because you think, and you keep saying, Jesus paid for my sin, and I agree. Now you skip the important part. If it's paid for, then you have no business with it. It belongs somewhere else. You have been paid for it. You ought to give it up, but you won't. And God isn't even asking you to make it a overnight transaction. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the pay in full, and you give me your habit in payments. Now, I don't mind a 36-month contract. I don't even mind a 72-month contract. But 40 years, come on, you're pushing it now. You don't want to give it up. You want to wait till your body's so old and broken down and decrepit that you can't do it anymore. And then you say, oh, Lord, I'll give in to you now. You liar. That stuff is killing you and you can't do it anymore. That's when you want to give in. Well, it'd be a little late then. 10 times will be over by then. So you see, God wants you to understand that if you're on the other side, you will become accustomed. God wants to wean you. And you know how he does it? Sever, separate, break off. Pedazur also means, here's how you do it. Pedazur means to make something plain, to make it definite, to make it well-defined and unmistakable. In other words, it's my job to show you in plain English that you're wrong, where you're wrong, make it definite, well-defined, and unmistakable. So you will know what's wrong. It's unmistakable. What you do with it is entirely your business. But I want you to understand something. You will not start weaning. You will not start giving it up until it becomes plain, definite, well-defined, and unmistakable. In other words, you can't sit there and preach your own sermon back at me and give me excuses based on grace why you have to continue. I didn't tell you to stop. I said it's time to start cutting it back. That's all I said. And the only way we can do that is to make it definite. But if you don't want to, comes from the tribe of Manasseh. And Manasseh means to forget, to neglect, to cancel, to send back, to put off, and to give up. Now, remember the fork in the road back there where we turned off on double fruit and you go either way?
Now at Manasseh, depending on which way you went, which one of these people you sent, now you can forget your bad habit, you can neglect your bad habit, you can cancel your bad habit, you can send it back, you can put it back, you can put it off, and you can give it up. That's what Manasseh means. Or you can send Gadai and the skipper, and you can forget. You walk out and say, what did he say? Right now, some of you have already aren't listening. Well, you're forgetting. And you're going to neglect it. And then you're going to cancel it by the time you get out of here. You're going to send it back. And then you're going to put it back and be put back. And you understand now why it took them 40 years? They kept getting put back. They'd give up. And then they'd start all over again. Some of you are the greatest giver-uppers in the world. Some of you know more about giving things up than anybody I've ever met. There's only one problem. You're also the best restarter-upper in the world. Some of you have built-in booster cables. You can start up. You plug in anywhere and start up. So, see, quitting is not your habit. Quitting is not your problem. Your problem is you start it up again. As soon as the hallelujah drops out and it's all over, and you draw another breath, you're starting again. Well, you know what the problem is? Manasseh, you turned a fork in the road. And at this point, you can forget, cancel, neglect, send back, put off, and give up on either the right or the wrong, depending on who you sent out. Now, can you see when they came back with an evil report? Can you see who they... Forget it. We can't do that. Let's cancel that plan. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's give up. We were better off in Egypt. We can't go in there. Wrong report. Evil report. Why? Sent the wrong people. And what they do, they ate that food for 40 years, didn't they? Just simply, you will give up. That's just that simple. Now, who you give up on will tell you what fruit you're eating, will tell you what you did. But when you get to Manasseh, you're either going to make a step backwards or you're going to give up that stuff that's been killing you and keep going forward, and you'll know which it is. And already you know, because if you're starting again every now and then to do the things you said you gave up, and you did give up, then you're sending back, putting back, canceling. You're in Manasseh. You made the wrong fork in the road. Now, we got another problem with that. Numbers 13:12. The next tribe is the tribe of Dan. And it says, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. Now, Amiel means the people of God, people as a congregated unit, in other words, the church. He says, look, this is a danger even if you're in church. You can be the people of God and come to church and be the congregated unit, be an Amiel, but the problem is you're the son of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel means to work hard, to be in labor or burden bearer, burdened, physical or mental exertion, to move slowly and with difficulty. Now we're starting to hit home. Some of you have been using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Grace, whoever she is, to move slowly and with great difficulty. To spend too much time and too much effort on. That's what Gamaliel means. Now, you made a wrong fork in the road. Now, the other side of the same individual is in 112, Numbers 112. It says of Dan, again, the same tribe, Ahiezer, the son of Amishadai. Now, Ahiezer means brother of help. It means aid, to help and to protect. It means a brother. So, people of God, people as a congregated unit, and a brother basically mean the same thing, don't they? Except one of them needs help. He's always full of burdens, and the other one helps. But they're both Christians, and we love them both. It's just one of them always needs something. Big, strong individual, able to take care of himself. He's always begging, always needing something. He's a brother, no question about it. She's a brotheress. There's no question about it. But they got, you know, and you know why they can't give? Because they have nothing to give. You know why they have nothing? Because they don't give up the wrong in order so they can have some good to give. They always have to be getting, getting, getting. So they're both brothers. Only one helps, one aids, one protects, and the other one is always in problems. Always needing help. Never able to help, always needing help. You love them both, but for different reasons. Now, his brother, which he's the brother of help, Ahiezer means the brother of help, means to make things easier or better for. It's a joy to be around somebody like that. No matter what you tell them, no matter what's wrong, they'll try to make it easier or better for you. How? By licking your head? No. No, by attacking the very thing that's wrong with you. It also means to give something that is necessary. Now, what you need is you need a good lick in the chops is what you need. You need to be told the truth. It also means to cause improvement in, to do part of the work of. In other words, the Ahizer will help you do what you need to do. The Gamali always needs help. I don't care what God gives that individual, he'll make a burden out of it. He'll make it difficult. You got to help him. You have to spoon the honey in it. It's flowing with milk and honey, and he won't open his mouth. We got to take him and lay him down in front of the waterfall of honey and open his mouth for him. And if you draw your hand away for a minute, he'll close his mouth. He's not going to have any honey, thank you, without help. Makes a burden out of everything. It's difficult to be around an individual like that constantly because they simply do not want to help. They want to be helped. They're babies. They want to be diapered. They want to be fed. They want you to take the spoon and clean their chin and all that. And it's ridiculous. You're grown adults. It hadn't ought to be that way anymore. It also means to share the labor, to make more effective, to aid the growth of, to act as a servant. There's not a woman on the face of this earth wouldn't love to be married to a man like that. Not one. Unfortunately, some of you are married to camel drivers, which is Gamali. Everything's a burden. And they move slowly and they spend time and effort on things. And listen, it can be the woman or the husband, doesn't matter. Now here's the problem. They come from the tribe of Dan. Now Dan means to judge as an umpire, to strive at law, to minister judgment. Ah, but that sounds like Benjamin. It is. Remember Benjamin, the stronger side of the person, meant the same thing. Well, what is it? Benjamin tells you, and Dan shows you. Why? Because Dan helps. Dan either gives help or needs it, depending on whether it's Gamali or Ahiezer. So you see, what this is, they can first tell you by Dan their judgment. And then by the time they get to, that's at Benjamin, now when they get to Dan, they're going to show you. In other words, if you judge that you always need help and everything's wrong, then you're going to show it at Dan because you're going to need the help. You see, the judgment that you make, you're going to live in it. So at Benjamin, you tell what you think, you make your report, now at Dan, you got to live in it. Now at Dan, it's your baby. Now it's your burden or you're able to help, depending on which judgment you made. But it shows up at Dan. And it's unmistakable. You cannot deny it. Now, at this point, you are showing and telling. Now, Numbers 13:13. I'm going to show you how this develops. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Now, Sether means to be hidden, to hide something, to cover it, to conceal it, to keep something secret. Keep what secret? Well, he's the son of Michael. What's his big secret? Who is God? Michael means what, how, why, and when. Same word for manna. What is it? What is this thing? Who can understand it? Well, I don't know what it means. And then I say, well, this is what it means. No, it doesn't. Well, I thought you said you didn't know what it meant. See, you don't. That's true. That's half the truth. That's the good part. And then when I tell you what it means, now comes the other part of your double fruit. You say, oh, that's not it. That's your interpretation. Well, you see, Sether keeps things hidden by saying, well, who could know this? I don't understand. Everything's just a big mystery. Doesn't want to deal with any. He pretends like nothing's happening, like he's ignorant. And in a matter of speaking, he is. Now, the other side of that same personality, you'll find in Numbers 1:13. Of Asher, again, the same tribe, Pagiel, the son of Ochran. Now, Pagiel means accident of God. It means to meet together, we're meeting together, to make intercession and to pray. That's church, right? But it also means to impinge in order to reach. So see, when we come to church, we meet together to make intercession, to pray, to impinge in order to reach. And you see, this is an accident of God. We come here for to have an accident. An accident of God. Now you say, what does he mean? You don't know what accident means. It amazes me. Really, I think what really, in all reality, we should pass out green cards at the door because you don't know English. And I'll be the first kid, I'll grab the first card because I'm learning some things I never knew. I thought I was an English-speaking male adult. Well, God is showing me something. You know what accident means? Accident means a happening that's not expected, not foreseen, and not intended. Now, you come to church, you don't know what to expect. You can't foresee it, and you didn't intend it. I'm the one that's been having the accident all week. And it amazes me, we come here, you didn't expect it, you didn't foresee it, and you didn't intend it. But 5 minutes into the message, you're an expert in it. Now, that's not an accident, that's a miracle. You see, in other words, what God says, when you come to church, you ought to have an accident. You ought to come here for something you didn't expect, you didn't foresee, and you didn't intend. In other words, shut your mouth and shut your mind and just listen. You didn't foresee, you didn't expect, and you didn't intend what this message is. It ought to be an accident of God. And that'll tell you who the called person is to preach and who the called person is to listen. See, we're both having an accident. Now, the kind of accident some of you have, I don't want to talk about right now. But see, church ought to be an accident of God. And God wants you to understand, if you understand the meaning of the word accident, you can't sit there and make all these judgments in your mind about something that clearly you didn't expect, you didn't foresee, and you didn't intend. In other words, your mind ought to be open to this, or you have not had an accident of God. You've had you ran into yourself. Head-on collision. Well, how can you have a head-on collision with yourself? Double-headed, double-minded, double-tongued, double everything. Banging together. Migraine. One of these days I'm going to tell you what migraine means. And it is yours, believe me. Now, both of these people are from the tribe of Asher. Now, let me tell you something. And here's how, if you've made the right fork in the road, God is showing you now, here's how to get out of this thing. Remember, you come to church to meet, make intercession, to pray, to impinge, to reach, and to have an accident of God. Now, how do you do that? Asher. Asher means to be happy. Well, I'd like to be happy. How do you be happy? How do you be happy? I like that. You need to know the meaning of the rest of the word Asher. Here's how you be happy. It means to be straight, to be level, to be honest. That's what it means. You are never going to be happy until you're straight, level, and honest. What does level mean? Not up or down. What does straight mean? Not deviating right or left. What does honest mean? Quit lying about what you're doing. Quit using grace as an excuse and to cover up and to continue what you're doing. God says you're never going to be happy until you get straight, honest, and level. And incidentally, you're never going to be straight and honest until you're level. It's this mood swings that you have. And when you have them here at church, I know what's going to happen. You're going to have to go home and have another one. And how do you do it? Some of you do it with coffee. Some of you do it with cigarettes. Some of you do it with temper. Some of you do it with alcohol. I don't care how you do it, but it's a mood swing. Why? Because you don't want to be level. You can't be level. Why not? Because you're not straight. Why not? Because you're not honest. It's just that simple. And God says, look, you're only lying to yourself because God already knows, and I don't care. So who are you lying to? Who are you hurting? Yourself. I don't care what you're doing. Brother, it's not going to change my opinion of you. I don't care what you're into, what you've been into, what you're going to go into. I don't care. It's not going to change the way I feel about you. It's not going to change the way people feel about you. It certainly doesn't change the way God feels about you. But you see, you can't be honest and you can't be straight because you're not level. And that's why God wants you to understand how important it is to get off of these mood swings. Because if you live in that, you'll never be straight, you'll never be honest, therefore you'll never be happy. That's why you need chemical happiness in the form of caffeine or nicotine or alcohol, whatever it is, that's chemical happiness. And I know for a while it feels good, but it's also evil. It's double fruit. So see, now you're in a situation where God is getting down to the nitty-gritty. He says, if you want out, you're going to have to be honest. And you're going to have to be level, and you're going to have to be straight. Now, he didn't say stop doing it. He said, now, if you have no problem doing it, why do you have problem talking about it? Because you're not honest. God has never said yet, stop doing that. He will eventually. But he hasn't here. He said, just be honest about it. If you don't have any problem letting your whole body do it, why do you have problem with your tongue saying, that's what I did? Because you're not level, you're not honest. And that's why you're not happy. You're not straight, in other words. And see, God's on to this thing, and so are you. It is not that hard to say what you're doing. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot easier than doing it, and quicker too. Can't you see the love of God here where he's saying, I'm not asking you to traumatize yourself or go into shock and DTs and cold turkey and all that stuff. I'm not asking you to do that. He says, can't we just sit down and you tell me honestly what you're doing? Because we both know anyway. That's all he's asking you to do. And you'd be surprised how that's going to level you out. And yes, happiness will come. But some of you still can't see it this way. Your Shemua is showing. Numbers 13, 15. We've got another individual now. It says, of the tribe of Gad, this is the evil report, Guel, the son of Machi. Now, Guel means the majesty of God. It means to triumph and to grow up. Again, we're talking Christian people now in the church. They've triumphed and they've grown up. And how do they do it? Well, they're the son of Machi. Machi means to be pining and impoverished and to be poor. To waste away through grief, pine, and longing. Oh, they're suffering for the Lord. And yes, they'll give up anything for their wife or their husband because they want to suffer. They want to pine away. They're the son of Machi. And that's going to bring back an evil report. You liar, you're only going to suffer for a week, and sooner or later, you turn around and say, look what she's doing. She gets all the fun, or vice versa. Because your pining didn't get you what you wanted. Or you can send the other side of Gad, Numbers 1:14, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. Now, Eliasaph means God is the gatherer. Gatherer means to unite and to cause to come together, to bring people close, to gain or acquire gradually. In other words, what God says, look, on the other hand, I said, look, I want you to give up something gradually, and I want you to gain something or acquire something gradually. God is the gatherer. He says, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of this good as you give a little bit of that bad. And then the scale starts tipping the other way until pretty soon you're level. And nobody ever asked you to give up something and do something you couldn't do. He said, I'll pay you a little of this for a little of that. What a deal. What a deal. But you see, Eliasaph means the gatherer. It means God's going to bring you together. And he's going to give you these things gradually. And he's the son of Deuel. Deuel means, and here's how you get it. Deuel means known of God. It means to have a clear understanding of and to be familiar with. So how is God going to gradually bring you to this? To give you a clear understanding. To make you familiar. And whose job is that? That's my job. It's my job to give you a clear understanding. That's why it takes all my life. It takes all my time to do this. And then you spit in my face in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ when you say, I don't want that, I don't agree with it. The least you ought to be is gracious, say thank you. And then when you get outside, then throw it away or do whatever you want with it. But see, there went a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of love went into making this possible and no less into bringing it to you. I had to give up some things. But see, God gave me some things gradually. You think I just started out this way? Little by little, he said, I'll give you some of this if you'll give up some of that. And I thought, but Lord, you want me to give up my golf and my time or what have you? I wouldn't have it any other way now. God knows better than I do. So you see, now it's time to have a clear understanding, to be familiar. And familiar means having to do with the family, friendly. It means a close friend and intimate. In other words, what God is really saying, I want us to be close. I want to withdraw you from that thing gradually. Now, both of these people, the impoverished and sick and poor and moaning and groaning individual who takes all of God's blessings and turns them into curses, they both come from Gad. And Gad means a prophet. Gad means to assemble selves together in troops. What for? Gad means to attack and to overcome. So, Gad will either attack or overcome. See, if he's the guy on the evil side, evil always attacks good. So he's going to attack every good thing that's happening. However, if he's from the tribe of Gad, who also means to attack or overcome, but of Eliasaph and Duel, then he's going to attack and overcome all the wrong. But see, every one of us, in every relationship, we have a person who attacks and overcomes. Now, if you have the wrong side of that individual, it's going to attack everything right that you do. Everything God does that's right, he attacks it. Everything right that you do, he attacks it. Everything that he does that's right, he attacks it. But if you send Eliasaph, everything that you do wrong, you'll attack it. Everything the other person does wrong, you'll, not the person, the thing. Now, having an individual like that around is good business, believe me. But you're going to have one or the other. So now look what's happened here. Reuben, see? Simeon here, Judah, use. Issachar performs. Zebulun, it's a habit. Ephraim, it's a fruit-bearing habit. Benjamin, it becomes the stronger side of the individual. Manasseh means to forget, to cancel, to put off, to put back, the good or the bad, whichever you want. Dan means to judge at law, to strive, to minister judgment. And now Asher, straight, level, right, honest, happy, prosperous, going forward. Now Gad, a prophet who attacks and overcomes. A prophet who assembles himself together in troops in order to attack and overcome. Can you see where we made the fork in the road? You see how God said, this is how you got in. But we made a turn at Manasseh. And now all of a sudden at Dan we're judging, as at law, and at Asher we're being straight and honest with each other. Can you see why I have to be honest with you? Can you see why I have to be straight with you, and I can't get up or down depending on whether you come, go, or don't? As I have to be with Asher or I won't be happy. Now, at Asher, then you turn into Gad, a prophet who attacks and overcomes. You see, God is saying, look, I'm shifting this thing over. Now, you can attack or overcome the good. That's stupid. I'm telling you, you ought to attack and overcome everything that's wrong with you. Now you're a prophet who overtacks or overcomes and attacks. Now, everybody says, oh boy, now I got the power. Now I can overcome and I can attack. I'm a prophet of God. Yes, you are. Now we got one character left. One. Well, what are we going to attack now? What is it we're supposed to fight with all this power? We've come all this way, and God has changed us to give us the ability to attack, to overcome, and to be a prophet. In other words, to speak the word of God. Well, I'll tell you who you're going to attack. Numbers 13, 14. God is so smart. He leads you right down the path and then he cuts you off and he says, gotcha. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vasphi. Again, in most churches they would pass those names by and they'd say, well, you know, that's just the name of some guys that died a long time ago. We've been preaching on these guys that died a long time ago just on their names for what? Four sermons now? Five sermons? Six? I've lost track. And we're not done yet. Nabi, the son of Vasphi. Nabi means occult. Now this is the evil side. Now remember, you are now a prophet of somebody, and you have the power to attack and to overcome. Now remember, you were told, be honest, be straightforward, bring things out. That's what you're going to attack. Now Nabi says, no, occult, let's hide everything. Nabi also means to secrete. It means to hide as in the bosom, to cherish with affection and with love. Now here's what Nabi wants to do. He's now a prophet of God. He now has all the information. He can now judge everybody. He now can pinpoint his wife, or she can pinpoint him and tell him everything that's wrong. Now when they judge themselves, oh no, they hide in the bosom. They cherish with affection and love. And what is it that they cherish? Well, they are the son of Vasphi. And Vasphi means to continue to do a thing, to prolong and to increase more and more. Now here's the problem, and this leads into the message of the 10 tonight. At this point, God says, I don't have any more to say to you. You're either going to be a Nabi, the son of Vasphi, or you're going to be the other individual that we'll discuss in a minute. But here's Nabi's problem. Keeps everything secret. doesn't want to talk about anything. Wants to hide it. You know why? God says, why do you hide it in the bosom? Because you cherish it with affection and with love. And you say, oh, I love God, I love Jesus Christ. You liar. What you cherish with affection and what you love is what you're hiding. And you know what's wrong as well as I do. I don't know what it is, but I know there's wrong. And as long as you keep hiding it, you are cherishing it with affection and with love. Why? Because of vasphi. Vasphi means to continue to do a thing. You want to continue to do it. So you cherish it with love and affection. You have now found a way under grace to continue to do a thing. It means to increase more and more. You think you're going to stay doing the same amount. No, vasphi means not only to continue, but to increase more and more and more. One day it's going to kill you. Just that simple. Vasphi also means to prolong. So now God is saying, I've taken you all this way. I've now made you a prophet. I've given you the ability to attack and overcome. And what are you going to use it for? I'm going to use it to hide my wrong. And in order to continue to cherish and continue to do my wrong, that's what I'm going to use it for. And you're going to find out in tonight's message, God says, 10 times now, child, you've tempted me. 10 times now you've done that. You've provoked me. And I've given you. Remember, there's 12 of these guys, and 10 of them made an evil report. So these 10 characteristics are the 10 things that you do. Why do you do them? In order to continue, in order to prolong, and in order to increase more and more. And don't tell me you don't. Everybody in this room has quit everything at one time or another. And now you're doing it again, and now you're doing more of it, and you've prolonged it. You're still trying to do the same thing you started, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You got Nabi and Vashfi up to your ears. And you see what God is saying, and here's the problem. You've taken all of this thing that I've given you, these 10 characteristics. I've given you 10 good things that you could do, 12 as a matter of fact. And you come back and you keep using the other 10, the wrong things. Why? Because you want to continue. Because you want to increase. You want to be able to do even more. So God says, look, here's what I'm going to do for you. You want that so much and I love you so much, you're going to do it till it comes out your nostrils. Remember the quail? And he says, and it's going to kill you in the wilderness. Then when you're all done, then I'll take you to heaven and show you what an idiot you were on earth. And if that's the way you want to go, I have no problem with it, as long as you don't go ignorantly. See, what God is saying here, here's the problem. You're taking all this knowledge, all this wisdom, and yes, all this grace, and you're using it. You're using it in order to continue to do wrong. You're using it in order to increase, so you're better at your wrong now. And you prolong it even more. You know you're getting worse. Because if you're not getting worse, you're getting better. Well, maybe you're getting better at being worse. I don't know, but everybody's growing. Everybody's increasing. Can you see the importance now of being honest, straight, and level? Because if you're not, you're going to be occult. You're going to hide in the bosom. You're going to cherish with affection and love those things that are killing you. You love them. Isn't that a paradox? You ever stop to think? You know when you're rational, those things are not good for you. You say you don't want them, but yet you love them. And why? Because you cherish it with affection. Why? Because you're a Nabi. And why are you a Nabi? Because Vashfi knows the only way you can continue to do it is to be a Nabi. And God said, you mean to tell me I brought you all this way, showed you these 10 times how to do it right, and these 10 times you've chosen to do it wrong, and your purpose for doing it wrong is so that you can continue to do it and not only mess up yourself, 10 people, but millions that died in the wilderness with him because they believed him? I'd hate to be where those 10 are right now. And I don't know if they went to heaven. I don't even care. It's none of my business. All I know is they affected a lot more than themselves. You think you're just hurting yourself. You are crazy. You think it's just you that is either going up or down. You're nuts. The fact of the matter is here, you are using this in order to continue. You are using God as a minister of your evil. Now, the most decent thing you could do is admit it. At least, and then there's some compassion, but right now you're lying to yourself and to God. Now he said on the other side of this, we have in Numbers 1:15, of the same tribe, Naphtali, we have Ahira, the son of Enan. Now Ahira is a lot different than Nabi. Nabi hides everything. And Ahira means the brother of wrong. It means to have an affinity for adversity and affliction and distress, trouble, sorrow, and heavy hurt. Now, you know, God ministered to me in this. He said, look, if you are an Ahira, a person with a problem, one that wants to be straight and level and honest, can come to you and say, brother, this is what I've done. Say, look, God loves you anyway. This is how we get out of it. Don't say anything. Let's just work this thing out. He's a brother of your wrong. Instead, you choose to go out there with those people and say, oh, look at that. Just like you, a Shaphat. God says, look, I've given you a brother. I've given you an individual that you can sit down and you can say and do and anything, and he's not going to look down on you. He's not going to get upset at you. He's not going to say, leave the church, get out of here. We don't deal with that. He's a brother of your affliction. He's specially called. You can be specially called. Women, if you had a husband like that, you could show them anything. You could pour out your heart, be yourself, and he would be a brother of that, and he would show you out of it. Instead, you have to hide from him because he's hiding from you. Everybody's hiding from everybody else. Why? Because everybody's continuing to do wrong. Instead of being an Ahira, a brother of the wrong. Doesn't mean he agrees with it. It means he has an affinity for it. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know how God forgave me. I know how I got out of it. I know what I had to do to get out. Brother, I'll come back and grab you and let's go together. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you've done. We're brothers. I have an affinity. Affinity means a natural liking or a sympathy or a connection. But I'll tell you one thing you better look out for. Right now, everybody in this church has a brother of their adversity. It hasn't happened to me yet with anybody in this room. But there have been people in this church that I don't care what happens to them. They're gone. Now, is it because I've changed? And no, God took away from me the ability to be the brother of their own because they wanted to keep it. They wanted to continue to do it. They don't want out. At that point, the Lord says, leave them. Now, I can honestly say, as honestly as I know how, everybody in this room, as I look around, I have a real feeling and sympathy for what you're going on. And what's going on in your life? But I'll also tell you this. If the day ever comes, and I've said this to other people, that ceases to be, I will tell you. And I will not give you the time of day. Not because I don't want to, it's because I can't. When God says you're not going in, you don't like the brother of the affinity, you don't like someone that's going to help you, then go with the thing. Continue to do your thing. Fall in the wilderness. It's entirely up to you. Being Ahira, the son, the brother of wrong, the brother of affinity, one who has a natural liking or sympathy for those that are in trouble. Now you know that the way you are, nobody likes you. You don't even like you. How come I do? I don't understand that. Well, because you have a brother right now. But he's a son of Enan. And Enan means one who has eyes and has sight. Enan also means a fountain. Did you know eyes and fountain are synonymous? The Latin word ojo, which can be translated eye, also means a spring or a natural fountain. So what is the Ahira? He's the son of Enan. He's a fountain. And what does fountain mean? He's a source or origin of something, a storage place or container. For what? For the Word of God. In other words, if you don't get it out of a flesh and blood human being, you're not going to get it out of paper and ink. It's got to be made flesh to dwell among you. You're not getting it out of paper and ink. You can eat it, barbecue, do whatever. It's just paper. This is not going to help you until it comes out of a flesh and blood, living human being who's speaking with the Spirit of God. That's when it takes on life and reality. It's just paper and ink here. You can do whatever you want with it. You can hold it up, make the sign of the cross with it, throw it at your demons, whatever you want. Just paper and ink. Can't do it, doesn't hurt anybody or do anything until a man, until a human being, a child of God speaks it. Now, or Ahira and Enan, and this is the end of it now. This is where you've come down to the end. They're both from the tribe of Naphtali. And Naphtali now means you have the ability, or remember, Nabi and Vasfi means, one means to hide and to secrete in order to continue. The other one means to be the brother of Ra, to be a fountain, to have sight, to have wisdom, to be able to see, to be able to discern. And both of them come from Naphtali. In other words, you can use this ability or disability, whichever one it is, in Naphtali. Now, you know what Naphtali means? My wrestling and my struggle. Now, what am I saying here? God says, you've come to church and I've taught you something that you can use in your struggle and your wrestling with your problem, and you keep applying it to other people. There is your problem in a nutshell. Most of you, I shouldn't say most, too many of you come in here and you learn, you go, well, I'm just reflecting you. Is that your struggle? Is what's wrong with your husband your struggle? Is what's wrong with your wife your wrestling? And God says, look, I've given you all of this in order so that you can apply it to what's wrong with you. But Nabi doesn't want to admit there's anything wrong with him. So he's got all this power, this wisdom, this ability to judge wrong, and he's got to do it. So what does he do? I'm certainly not going to judge me. Nabi will not allow that. So what does he do? He judges his wife, judges me, judges everybody else. Why? Because he will not apply it to his own wrestling and his own struggle. See, this is automatic. You got into this on your own. And the information, the power, the wisdom, the knowledge that God is giving you is for your struggle and your wrestling. You don't want to use it that way. Instead, you want to come up with a different scenario, a different way. Now remember this. Reuben means to see. Simeon means to hear. Judah means you have the use of. Issachar means to perform it. Zebulun means you have the habit now. Ephraim means it bears fruit or double fruit. Benjamin means the stronger side of the individual. Now that habit, that fruit, that thing that you've been eating, you're addicted to it. It's addictive fruit. It becomes the stronger side of you. Manasseh means to forget and to neglect and to cancel and to put back and put off and give up. And then Dan means to judge as an umpire, strive at law, minister judgment, the fork in the road. You can go one way or the other. Let's go the right way. Asher then follows, means to be straight. See, first you have to have a Dan that judges as an umpire, say, you are wrong, and here's the proof. Then you become an Asher, then you're straight, you're level, you're honest, and you're right. Honest, happy, prosperous, go forward, that's what Asher means. And then you become Gad, a prophet that attacks and overcomes, one that assembles self together in troops. You get it together. Why? For Naphtali, for my wrestling and my struggle. Now, nothing that comes into your life are you not equipped to take care of. Your own mess. You are now equipped to take care of you. Now, I know there are some of us that are called to take care of ourselves and others, but that's not your job. It may be one day. But child, you are never, never, never will you be able to help someone else, because you can't even help you yet. Why? Because you won't use this on you first. Take it from somebody that knows. I used all of this on me first. And then the Lord said, now and only now can I have you now start using it on your wife, on your family, on your in-laws, on the church members, on people in general, and then pretty soon the whole universe. But it began with my struggle and my wrestling. You can't hide things from God. You can't hide them. You just can't do it. He's given you this, and I'll tell you what the problem is. You are now sitting as a prophet with the ability to attack and overcome. You are now power laden. You've heard this message. You've seen it and you've heard it. Now, you walk out of here and you're either going to be much better at being bad, or you're going to be much better at being good. Why do I say that? Because all this power, you're going to attach it and attack somebody's wrestling and somebody's struggle. And if you use it on someone else, you're going to be hated. People aren't going to even want to see you. Here comes that individual again, that busybody, always trying to judge, give us information, give us wisdom and knowledge that nobody asked for. Why can't you give it to other people? It's true. Because you haven't accepted it for yourself yet. You haven't applied it to your own struggling. You haven't applied it to your own wrestling, and therefore nobody wants to hear it. And God's not going to send anybody to you to ask you anything. He's not going to send you a wife if you don't have one. He's not going to make that married person you're living with into a wife, or that married guy you're living with into a husband. Why? Because you will not attach this to your wrestling and your struggle. In other words, God says, in the final analysis, honesty is the best policy. You're in good hands with Jesus. But as long as you keep playing your stupid games and hiding, and you know who you're trying to hide it from? Yourself. And who knows it better than you? And I'm going to tell you once more, and then I'm quitting. Why are you hiding it? You already know it, and I don't care. Now you tell me why you're hiding it. Brother Rick, would you close the services in prayer?